From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Idaho has a rich cultural history, the influences of which can be found all across our state. And as part of this Thursday's Fettuccine Forum, Dr. Priscilla Wagers and Renee Campbell will be exploring that history with a look back at one of the earliest groups to immigrate to the Gem State, Asian Americans. From gold mining to railways to agriculture, these pioneers were among the first to make a lasting mark on this region. So joining us now to talk more about this history are Dr. Priscilla Wagers and Dr. Renee Campbell. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So let me start with you, Priscilla. When did the first Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Filipino immigrants come to Idaho, in particular the Treasure Valley?
Well, they came in sort of in waves. And first were the Chinese, and the actual dates, Renee's handling that, so she can jump in and give the, you know, better estimates of dates for that. But the first Chinese came in mostly to work in the mines and on the railroads. And then they were greatly discriminated against. And the 1882 Chinese Exclusion Act kept more new laborers from coming in. So we needed somebody to do the work that the Euro-Americans did not want to do, and that the Asian Americans would do, later Americans would do, for less money. And so then when the Chinese stopped coming in, then the Japanese came in. That was in the early 1890s. They were then interested in working on the railroads, and then it branched out into agriculture, so on. And then because then they became discriminated against. And so after them came the, some Koreans and then later Filipinos.
Renee, what first attracted these immigrants to this particular area?
Well, the Chinese immigrants, who were some of the first Asian Americans to make their way to Idaho, were actually among some of the first non-native people in general to come to Idaho. And they came, like everybody else, for mining, particularly gold mining booms that were happening, as Priscilla said, in the 1860s. And they were happening in Idaho's Boise Basin, as well as sort of central Idaho areas like Pierce. And while the Boise Basin is sort of just outside of the Treasure Valley, depending on your definition of it, I've seen, lots of different definitions of what the Treasure Valley truly is. But what that did is it brought a number of people through the Treasure Valley and through Boise. So Boise had long been sort of a trade center, and it was a point on these migration routes into gold mining areas. So, thousands of Chinese miners who primarily, according to research by historian Liping Zhu, walked overland from California into Idaho would have walked directly through downtown Boise and up into the Boise mines. And then once there, working in the mines, they maintained a strong connection with the Treasure Valley through things like merchant networks. They were coming back into town to buy goods, and labor networks. Groups of laborers were going back and forth, and then various family and social organizations.
So Priscilla, you mentioned that when Asian Americans first started coming to Idaho, they were welcomed, but then that shifted, as many of us are aware of. So can you talk to us about what the Asian American experience was like in Idaho? And also, where do we see the evidence of that? Do we have documentation that lets us know that, this actually did happen to these early pioneers?
Well, we see the evidence in pretty much in local newspapers, such as the Statesman, which has a lot of information regarding the as I say, Renee's been her part's been the Chinese, and so she can speak to that. But my part has been Japanese, Korean, and Filipino, and so the Statesman's been a really good resource for finding out exactly what was happening to these people. And for example, when they were coming in, they came in the like early 1890s, as I said, to work on the railroads, and hundreds of them came. But then there was a smallpox scare in Nampa, And three men were found to have smallpox, and this upset, of course, the entire community. Those people were put out, and again, this is all from the newspapers, those people were put out into a compound a couple of miles out of town, and some of them started coming into Boise. Well, there were already Japanese people living in Boise, and so the community had welcomed them, but they had... the ones that were coming in were not wanted, and so they were kicked out. And then the Chinese people were afraid that if the Japanese got run out, they'd be run out too, because mostly people couldn't tell the difference between a Chinese person and a Japanese person.
And Renee, I'd like you to pick up on that, since you are the one researching the Chinese American experience. Can you talk about what they experienced as well here in Idaho?
Sure. Yeah. And Priscilla sort of started that, right? As soon as Chinese miners initially became or started coming to the United States during the California gold rushes, and they were initially recruited, you know, to join these gold rushes as a way to grow the economy. But then within several decades, this anti-Asian sentiment arises, and then you get anti-Chinese racism that really takes off. In forms of interpersonal violence, there's a lot of violence. Chinese Americans are run out of towns and things, but then also in laws, and that's something that we kind of get into later after the Exclusion Act. But in the Treasure Valley in particular, you know, from the beginning, Euro-Americans set up new mining districts, and they created those districts with specific laws that forbid Asian Americans or African Americans from mining in those districts, at least for the few years until the boom turned to bust. And then they welcomed as many people as they could into those districts to sort of reinvigorate the economies. But then Chinese Americans also faced other local laws that did things like place taxes on them specifically and not on other immigrant groups. And then because of the 1882 Exclusion Act, that was the first time that the United States passed a law that limited the number of immigrants coming from another country based on race and class. And what that did is it stopped incoming laborers from entering the United States if they were from China. And then it also made all Chinese immigrants blanketly ineligible for citizenship in the United States, which is something that didn't apply to immigrants from any other countries in that time period. And so those citizenship laws ended up deeply impacting Idaho's Chinese American populations, because though that also played into things like being able to vote, being able to own land, being able to establish families. So both kind of legal and social forms of discrimination.
Can we talk about the Asian American comparative collection? And I'm not sure which one of you could speak on this, but whomever feels the most comfortable, can you tell us what that is, and really why, you know, the importance of it?
Well, I guess I should be the one to do this because I started it 40 something years ago. And the Asian American Comparative Collection is a resource of artifacts, books and articles, which we call bibliographical materials, and images, slides and photographs related to the Asian Americans in the Pacific Northwest. And I started this because there was nobody really, we were having some archaeological excavations of starting with Chinese sites in Idaho, and we knew we would find Chinese artifacts, mostly broken, but things that had been made in China and brought over here by the early pioneers. And so I started the collection to obtain whole examples of things that the archaeologists would only find bits and pieces of. And so first we started with Chinese, and then someone gave me a bowl that was Japanese that he picked up in the Boise Basin. And I'm like, oh, whoa, there were Japanese. Because I came up from California. I'm what they call the Californicator, but I try to redeem myself by doing Idaho history. Anyway, I knew nothing about early Japanese coming into Idaho. And so that got me thinking about We started out as the Chinese comparative collection, and with these Japanese items that have been found in Idaho, we thought we'd better be the Asian comparative collection. And then people thought, oh, you're doing, you know, fancy Asian, you know, objects and things. No, we're doing things that belong to just the ordinary people. So that's when years ago we became the Asian American comparative collection, and we've been that ever since. So mm-hmm. we're a resource of, as I say, these items and things for people to come from, oh, you know, government, like BLM and Forest Service people want, they find something, they want to know what it is. So they contact us, we help them. Students doing term papers, faculty members doing things, people from, oh, we've had people from back east coming in to use the collection. We try to be a resource for anybody that needs help, particularly identifying Asian American artifacts that they might have.
So, Renee, same question to you then. Why is a collection like this so critically important, in this day and age?
Well, I think, you know, I'm actually someone who ended up here because of the Asian American Comparative Collection. And so I can say I came as a student, and it was one of the few places that I could find, you know, the objects and materials I needed to do research on the archaeological site that I was studying at the time. And so it is really a unique resource in the West, and it gets used primarily by archaeologists, but also by historians looking into this history. And I think, you know, it's important to understand people's daily lives, right? We can talk about these broad mm-hmm. historical patterns that we see through the written record, but material culture really gives you a sense of what people were doing in their day-to-day life, what they were eating, what they were wearing, how they were sort of navigating their world on a daily basis. And it gives you this tangible link to the past that I think is really important, especially for groups like Asian Americans, whose history has really been hidden in a lot of ways, and doesn't always appear in an unbiased form in our historical sources.
Mm. So I want to ask both of you the same question, and it goes to what you will be discussing at the Fettuccine Forum on Thursday. So Priscilla, what will be your part of this conversation?
Oh, well, my part is to introduce the Japanese, Korean, and Filipino immigrants who came to the Treasure Valley in the early days. And I have quite a bit of information on the Japanese, but much less so on Koreans and Filipinos.
Mm. And what about you, Renee? What will you be discussing?
I'm sort of bookending the talk. I'm going to open it by talking about, the Chinese immigrants who are some of the first Asian Americans to enter Idaho. And then I'm going to close with a really short discussion of post-1965 Asian American immigration to the state, as just a way to really emphasize the fact that although Asian American history, right, begins over a century and a half ago, it continues to the present day.
I wanted to offer something here too, is that when we speak of Asian Americans, of course, these people that we are talking about, the Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, and Filipinos, they were not allowed to, setting aside the Filipinos because they had a special relationship with us, but the others, mm-hmm. Because of the laws that forbid them from becoming citizens, they were here, they were living permanently, they had married, they had families in many cases. And so the children were Americans, the parents were not. But still, I think that because they had chosen to make their life here, they would have become naturalized had they been allowed to. I think that we are justified in calling them Asian Americans. The Chinese were not allowed, or the Chinese were finally allowed during World War II because 1943, they were allowed to start becoming naturalized because they were our allies during World War II. Mm-hmm. Silly to deny people citizenship who had been here for 40, 50 years or longer. Because of World War II and the unfortunate instances of what happened to many of the Japanese on the West Coast being put into incarceration camps and so on, they were not allowed to become naturalized until 1952.
Mm. Well, I want to thank both of you so much for your time today and for talking to us about this. It's such a critical part of our history. So thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. We're happy to be here with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.